I'm still in the early chapters of Octopath Traveler, but I'm really liking it. Plus, No Man's Sky Next is coming. Has Hello Games learned anything? Tonight is July 22nd, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello. It's Comic-Con week. We're not going to talk about Comic-Con. But it was Comic-Con week, and we're not going to talk about it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a not-Comic-Con edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the stream, welcome. Voice of Geeks Network, that's where we're at, and you can head on over to our chat room. I would say, you actually can still do this. Go to live.vognetwork.com, probably will see a message saying that the connection is not secure, and so you can't access the chat, but you can. Right under that, you will see a message from us saying, hey, does it say connection not secure? Click this link. And it's the same chat interface. It just opens up in a new tab and stuff. And then you can get into our chat, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. Come on and join us. But on that live.vognetwork.com page, you can still check in if you're logged into the site, just like JD and Matt Cube. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. Thank you so much for being here. A bunch of other people did, too. Really happy to see people back now, that, especially because OLR, last I heard, OLR is still going on tonight. They had to take off last week at the last minute, but they should be back tonight. And so I am here as well. And if you're on the podcast feed, there's going to be a word somewhere in the episode, and you can put that in on the site during the next week and get the exact same amount of points. I do appreciate it. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word, or you can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. It's toll-free in North America. Or you can comment on an episode over at vognetwork.com. We actually did get a comment on a previous episode from E3VL, who also checks in a lot on the podcast check-in. So thank you to that. But this was actually from the episode from 2 weeks ago, because we're a little bit behind on episodes, so I'm reading the 2 weeks ago one. And this was actually, we were talking about the Amazon Prime new release discount. So the background on the story before I read his comment is that Amazon Prime is removing their 20% pre-release discount. So if you order something before its actual date that it comes out, some would call it pre-ordering. Some people say that's terrible English. But if you order something on Amazon before the day it comes out and you get release day delivery, you get a 20% discount if you have Amazon Prime. That's going away for remakes and remasters, according to them. So that was some changes to the program. And I speculated it's because Best Buy is actually removing their Gamers Unlocked program, which gave you a 20% discount on new release titles if you got them within the first 2 weeks, I think is what it was. But doesn't matter what the details are, because it's gone and you can't get it. And anybody who has it, it's going when their current deal lapses, they can't re-up it. So E3VL wrote in our comment section over at VogNetwork.com, how does the Amazon discount removal work? Is it automated to pick up keywords like remastered, definitive edition, collector's edition, super, ultimate, enhanced, insert random marketing buzzword here edition, or is it manually done by a real person? Nintendo Switch first-party titles are in a gray area right now, and if it's considered a remaster port or total reimagining built from the ground up, wonder if Ultimate or Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has the 20%. I don't know the answer to your question. I am going to guess it is because it is done manually by a person. When I haven't checked, but the Shenmue remaster for Shenmue 1 and 2, at the time of our recording 2 weeks ago, it still had the 20% 20% deal on it, even though that is technically a remaster. It also depends on what it's a real person. And Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is kind of interesting because Nintendo says it's not a port or a reissue. The developer says it's not a port or a reissue, but some of the fans say it's just going to be a port or a reissue of the Wii U version. But then Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, it is a port of the Wii U version, but they don't call it that. It just says, oh, it's Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker now for the Switch. So I am going to think it's based on, it's going to be a judgment call by a human, but I don't know that for sure. Breakman in chat says, a comment from an old episode that doesn't involve someone saying they will never listen to this show again. I, believe it or not, I am lucky enough to not have as large of a reach to get those comments, which is kind of funny because last week I was at a different Comic Con, not the San Diego Comic Con, but I was in Atlanta Comic Con, and it was all about growing your audience. And I'm like, you know what? I may not necessarily want to grow my audience that much more because then I don't get the people that say they'll never listen to me again. They just tell me like years later, oh, yeah, I used to listen to you. So that was the comment we got on previous episode. I do kind of look back at previous episodes, like I go a couple episodes back, because I know the podcast goes out pretty late in the week. Just because you leave an episode on a comment, I still go back and I try to read them, even if it's like 2 weeks later. Because your comments mean everything to me. Like this one, SJR Matt says, you reach us, Bobby, and we thank you for it. Thank you very much. So I have been able to play more of Octopath Traveler on the Switch. It has scratched the turn-based JRPG itch that I have wanted for a while. And it's not to say that other games haven't scratched that itch, especially because I went through Radiant Historia, the remastered definitive edition. I don't know if it would have 20% off. But I recently went through that, but that's on the 3DS. And there are turn-based JRPGs on the 3DS, which are very, 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 very well made. But this one's one I can play on my TV. And so it's really nice to have that because a lot of the console JRPGs, they're more action-focused now. Even the Final Fantasies now are more action-twitchy-focused. So I'm really liking it. Now, that being said, I will say I am not that far into the game. I think I've only put 10 hours into the game. I've had real life come in. I haven't been able to play much games at all this week. But the time that I've had have been with Octopath Traveler. I have gone through 7 of the 8 chapter ones. I've got one guy left to get to. I'm doing some of the side quests and stuff, and not really liking the progression system, mainly because I need to start grinding very soon. And some of the reviews I read said, if you kind of go through everybody's, you won't need to sit there and grind. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Because I think I'm at, like, my main character, my first character. Because you can't get rid of your first character. So whoever you choose first, hope you like them. And I probably made the wrong choice on first character. Because I chose the knight. But I probably should have chose, like, the hunter. Because the hunter can actually, like, attack with anybody. And I'm really liking that mechanic. So I kind of probably should have chosen the hunter first. But I didn't, so I'm going to deal with that. But, like, my main, the knight is, like, level 18. Everybody else is, like, level 14 to 10. And all the chapter 2s require you to be at least level 20-something before you get to them. So I'm going to be spending some time grinding up levels. And so my smile for the game might go away at that point. It might. I don't know yet. So I am enjoying it so far, but that's because I am in chapter 1 for everybody. Fifth Dream says he's like the same. He's in about 8 hours, but only 4 characters. And I could have gone slower, but I remember I actually picked up my third character in the 3-hour demo. So it basically I spent about an hour getting to each player's chapter 1. And Fifth Dream also said he chose the hunter first. Good for you. If I was doing it right, I would have chosen the hunter first. I think because I chose the knight first in the 2017 demo that you can't get anymore, I think that's why I went with that first, just because I was used to his playstyle. But now I realize I should have done the hunter first, especially because you can't change out the first character. If you could change out the first character that you chose, I would I would be like, okay, I'm going to make my hunter the main character or whatever. I don't know. It would be a lot easier. Dungeon Boss said, I had to delay playing it to finish Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which I put off for too long. Now I can focus on Octopath. I am focused on Octopath now, so we can be focusing on Octopath buddies, and you will finish it well before I even get through Chapter 2. Breakman says, Bobby is going to force one of his listeners to grind for him or else. Honestly, that's actually, like, especially with the Switch, it's like doing some of the battles, like, especially if I'm in an area where I know, like, the weaknesses of the enemies and stuff. That's something like a mindless task I can do. And so I actually don't mind having to grind for levels because it's something mindless that I can do. And it just allows me to, like, clear my mind and stuff and not think about anything but, you know, exploiting the weaknesses. So, I mean, I can do it in short bursts and stuff, and I'm totally fine with it. It's easy. It's easy gaming, and I can do that. Fifth Dream does point out an issue is that he can't read anything on the small screen in Octopath Traveler, tiny font. And I can imagine that. I can see that. I am blessed, I guess, hashtag blessed, to mainly be playing Octopath Traveler in on a 120-inch screen. So the text doesn't bother me as much anymore. It's also why I revisited The Witcher 3, because I could finally read the text in it. But I can see when I am playing it in handheld mode, I can see that, the text is pretty small. You need to have it really close to your face. That's the problem with people that are developing games on computers where the monitor is like 2 feet away from your face, and it's a very high-resolution monitor. So the text looks really, really big, and you're like, I can put more on this screen. Dunderbus says, I just need to remember to keep my Joy-Cons charged. Get the Pro Controller. Because the battery in the Pro Controller lasts for a long time. Or, like, they actually have these Pro Controllers now, if you don't mind a wire. They actually have these Pro Controllers that are wired only. And so they connect. They give you a really, really long USB-C cable, and they connect. The downsides is there's no rumble at all, and there's no Amiibo reader in it. But they're... And they're still like $40, or I don't know if they're $49.99, so it's still $50. But they're wired, and so they're probably great for fighting games and stuff because there's no wireless lag at all. But now you can actually have the actual wireless Pro Controller transmit over wired if you have it plugged in for the gaming or fighting game fans. What I meant to say. But no, so you can actually get one of those that just connects to the dock, one of the USB ports outside the dock. And you never have to worry about keeping anything charged. She-Hulk says, I hate when they do that on new consoles where even an 80-inch TV text is still unreadable. That was the problem I had with The Witcher 3 because I got it on the PS4. And that text, like, it was a port of a PC game. And when you're on a PC, it's fine. And so a lot of these people, they're probably even, you know, the QA departments, and as much as everybody likes to bash QA, they're probably also playing on a monitor sitting at a desk. So they are also 2 feet away. I mean, I'm probably a foot away from my monitor, my computer monitor here, and this is the monitor I game on. So when you're on a PC, yeah, that small text is great. Watch any stream. Watch Rob Roberts, one of the greatest streamers on Twitch that you're not watching, but you should be watching, and you probably are watching him. But watch him when he plays Final Fantasy XIV. If you're watching his stream on a TV, like if you're like using the Twitch app on your PS4 and he's playing Final Fantasy XIV, you can't read any of that text, but he can read it perfectly fine. And the Witcher 3 was a PC ported over to the PS4, so they kept the same screen size because when you test a PS4 and you have it hooked up to a computer monitor at a desk, the screen size, the text size is just fine. So Octopath Traveler, very well worth it, other than the tiny... And the tiny text in Octopath Traveler is not as tiny as The Witcher 3's text. I promise you. It's still small. And when he says small, he's actually talking about, you know... Fifth Dream also said he's got a 50-inch TV, and it's still small for him. But it is small even in handheld mode. You can kind of tell, yeah, they're trying to cram a little bit too much information on the screen. Fifth Dream says, the oddest problem I have with the Switch right now is that when I switch between it and PS4, I keep messing up the buttons. And that's actually a thing, because... the A button on Nintendo consoles is actually the B button on Xbox One, and the circle button on PS4. So that's your back button, but the B button on the Nintendo is your OK button and stuff. So, you know, you could it does really mess with you. And I guess is to avoid lawsuits and avoid copying that they all have to have different button configurations. But yeah, so it's actually the Japanese way of doing things. Because if you play a Japanese PlayStation game, for instance, the circle button is your confirm button and the X button is your cancel button. And they flip that for the American audiences. So when a game comes out in the U.S., they actually flip those two. Nunderbuster says, I'd always screw up the salvage QTE parts in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because of the buttons. JD says he really hates the XO flip on the PlayStation controllers. It seems completely arbitrary. I think it was focus groups back in the 90s. Because circle means go, X means stop, but the X was blue and the circle was red, and so American audiences thought that the red button should be the stop and the blue button be the go. I don't know. So another game that's got a kind of an interesting... This is a game that has a kind of an interesting past and probably will have an interesting future, and I'm going to talk about No Man's Sky. We're going back to 2016 to No Man's Sky. Well, why are we doing this? Because No Man's Sky is getting an update that actually might make it closer to what people expected in 2016. And there was a great article that I read on Ars Technica, which summarized a whole bunch of other articles, because for the first time since the game came out, Sean Murray of Hello Games actually talked to the press. And it's really interesting, some of the insights, and he's not, and it's also kind of interesting because I've also looked at some of the reactions to this week, him coming out, and boy, do people still hate him. And boy, do people still hate Hello Games. And it talks about, you know, yes, they got death threats and they were all that stuff. And people are still, like, in reaction to him speaking now, people are like, maybe we should send him more because obviously he didn't get the message. He's a liar. He's blah, blah, blah. And wow. It's just a video game, guys. It's really just a video game. But I wanted to kind of talk about some of the stuff because I remember some of the vitriol, because I was not as hard on Hello Games and Sean Murray as some other people, including listeners of this show who called in. And there was actually something he said in here that made me remember this. And it was also the last time this particular caller called in. So I'm pretty sure he's not listening and he's not going to call in. So we'll talk about that. You know, this is from an Ars Technica article about how Hello Games has gone quiet since it came out. Keeping their heads down and focused on building and releasing numerous updates to No Man's Sky that have layered plenty of important features into the launch version of the game. With the upcoming release of No Man's Sky multiplayer-focused next update, which these are all free updates, by the way, Murray has finally broken the studio's radio silence, giving wide-ranging interviews to Waypoint, The Guardian, Eurogamer, and Games Radar about the game's past, present, and future. He told Waypoint that, quote, I never really wanted to talk to press. I didn't enjoy it when I had to do it. I think that was super obvious watching me doing interviews, unquote. And he's actually basically been quiet and silently working on the game for 2 years. On the other hand, quote, this is the happiest I think we've ever been as a result, unquote. So they actually apparently had to agonize over whether to do interviews even now. But Murray said, quote, we owe it to people to be able to address a bunch of questions that they have and then maybe hopefully have the ability to talk more openly with our community, unquote. So he actually basically says that Sean Murray says we talked too early, and he that, quote, we were naively excited about the game. We talked to other people who were naively excited about the game and they interviewed us and we all talked really excitedly and I will not do that again, unquote. So what happened here is the same thing that happens to Peter Molyneux. And I have, I'm sorry for name dropping, I have actually been able to speak with Peter Molyneux. I did not personally get a chance to interview him, but I was with, when I was with E3Coverage.com, GameTactics.com, he was actually able to interview Peter Molyneux, but I was able to go along and had the, and Peter Molyneux was gracious with his time and gave me, you know, a couple minutes of his time just so I could talk to him and really get to meet him. And he, this was back when he was still with Lionhead Studios, so this was through Microsoft and everything. And he really loved his game, and he was very excited about his game, and he loved talking about it. And he got into trouble in the same way that Hello Games did, where they talked about all their desires with the game and what they wanted, and everybody took that as gospel. And when it didn't deliver, it bit them. And that's exactly what happened here, is that they were too excited to the game. They were too eager to talk about their plans. And then when they couldn't actually execute those plans, everybody knew about it. Whereas a smart game developer, or really anybody that's about to do something that's public, they don't tell you their desires and wants. And then they just like let it out. You know, and for instance, we here at Vogue Network, we are hiding things from you right now. We have desires and plans that we want to execute pretty soon. The reason we're not telling you what those are is because if we can't execute our desires and plans and we have to roll back to a simpler version, you won't know. I mean, you'll know because I'm telling you this, but you won't know. And it's because we don't want, even though you guys are an awesome community and we're not that big, that we're going to get any of these kind of threats or anything, because y'all are way more awesome than that. We don't want to disappoint you. So we're just not telling you anything. JD says, OMG Secrets, how dare you? Yes, how dare us. Dunderbus says, props to Hello Games for the game-changing levels of content that they've kept on with, yet people still hate these people as if they peed in their cornflakes. SJ or Matt said, Sony also really overhyped the game at E3 many years ago. Dunderbus says, I wasn't a huge fan of No Man's Sky, and I'd bought it on day one, but if a game disappoints you that much, just don't give that developer your business anymore. I think... And I agree with you 100%, Dungeon Buster. What I think people are trying, the response to that from people who are less reasonable than us, is that we're trying to teach other game developers a lesson. We are trying to ruin Hello Games to warn other game developers, don't cross us. That's what they're hoping. They're hoping this sends a message. You don't mess with the gaming consumer. So part of the problem, according to Sean Murray, is that he actually thought they were being more direct and they weren't direct enough. He actually said, quote, I thought we were making it clear that No Man's Sky was a weird, lonely experience, but some people were looking at a trailer and thinking it was like Star Wars when really it was more like 2001, A Space Odyssey, unquote. He also naively assumed that the audience knew more about the way games were made. This is why, like me... Personally, I was not as upset about the game as other people. He actually said, quote, we were showing people demos that we knew as developers were like, oh, this is a 5-year development on this game. Obviously, some of the detail on this will change. Some of the things big and small, obviously, it's going to change. And that's not actually obvious. Unquote. So basically, the internet would basically pick apart every trailer and statement to see if they matched up with the release version. That led to an angry mob. The mob was extremely efficient at, quote, crowdsourcing ways to be mean to people. I was dealing with the Metropolitan Police, Scotland Yard, stuff like that. It was serious and it was real. It was as bad as it can get, unquote. And he says, quote, I remember getting a death threat about the fact that there were butterflies in our original trailer and you could see them as you walk past them, but there weren't any butterflies in the launch game. I remember thinking to myself, maybe when you're sending a death threat about butterflies in a game, you might be the bad guy, unquote. And that's this. Peter Molyneux got the same thing because one of the Fable trailers, you could plant a tree as a kid and then it would grow up as an adult, and that wasn't in the final game, and so people sent death threats over that. Despite the polarizing response, Murray says that the version of No Man's Sky that launched in 2016 is a version Hello Games was happy with. He thinks it could keep reasonable players happy for about 20 to 30 hours, but Murray also acknowledged to Eurogamer the players who thought this could be so much more had a point. This next paragraph is the one that I actually can corroborate 100% because of a call that we had on this show when No Man's Sky came out. The creator says he was also heartened, though, by the fact that 70% of the feedback he was getting on No Man's Sky was coming from people who didn't own the game. The people who were playing the game, he said, usually came across as more frustrated with the few missing features they wanted rather than outright angry about the whole thing. This happened on this show, this very thing. The same caller who provides the hogwash clip that's in the intro called in because he hated No Man's Sky. And I would actually say, and I, this was after it came out, so I had actually played No Man's Sky. And I started asking him about specific features, and he admitted he never played the game. He had no interest in ever even playing the game or anything. Because I asked him, what's missing that you miss? And he said, space battles. And I'm like, one of the first things that happened to me was I went into space and then had to get into a space battle with several pirates, and they killed me. And he said, it's not enough. And so I asked him, what more would you want? And he said, I haven't played the game. I, you know, I just know it's not enough. I know the game is terrible. Why can't you understand that the game is terrible? He actually, I don't think, has called in since that call. I think that is the last time he listened. That's the last time he called. But he was extremely mad about the game, and he did not pay a cent for it. And he was the one who kept telling me the customer is always right, which they're not. The customer absolutely is not always right. That was a marketing term in 1910 from a drugstore, I think. Like, I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it was actually like a marketing buzzword thing. It was a drugstore, and they're like, and here, the customer is always right. And we're still dealing with the fallout of that phrase. Because trust me, customer ain't always right. I promise you. But he was basically like, and I'm like, you're not even a customer. And he's like, but I'm still right. So I can completely see that the people that really hated the game, like completely stupidly hated the game, a lot of them, not all, a lot of them never bought it in the first place. A lot of them did buy it and refunded it. They're still customers. Like, people who bought it and got a refund on it and returned it, they do have a legitimate gripe. And if they completely hated it, they completely hated it. Totally fine. I'm totally fine with that. And I see that. But yeah, a lot of people never even bought it in the first place. So I'm kind of skimming through this article, because that was really the part of the article I wanted to really get into. But No Man's Sky Next is coming out, and it's going to basically kind of streamline the game a little more. They're going to introduce base building. There is actual multiplayer. It's more like a Star Trek Away Team multiplayer. It's still a lonely universe. You know, and you're going to get stuff a little bit quicker. And basically they said, quote, this time around, we've thought a bit more about the person who's never played the game before and just wants to start with a fresh save. That's me. They can't even remember 2 years ago when they picked it up at launch, and they're like, cool, you'll have a hopefully much nicer experience and you'll get to see some of the things earlier, unquote. He says, quote, we're not trying to make the perfect game. We have definitely learned that it's impossible. And in this kind of hyper, kind of critical, hyper polarized world, that's not a good path to go down. Something about No Man's Sky seems to get people hyped. We can't seem to stop it. Even now, we're being boring and putting out patch notes. People are still excited. It's a real buzz on something like that, unquote. So I did not really – I played No Man's Sky when it came out, and I have not loaded it since. But I still have it. I never returned the PS4 disc. I bought the disc version on PS4. Apparently now it's in 4K, so it's PS4 Pro, so it's going to look nice. And I'm going to create a new save when Next comes out. I am going to try it again. And I bought it full price. And a lot of people will tell you it probably wasn't worth full price, but I'm going to be there. And I have it on PS4. And if you still own it on PS4, if you've repurchased it, or if you found a used version of the disc, because people sold them back in droves back in 2016. All these updates are free, so all you need is that version of the game. And you download the gigs and gigs of updates. Maybe if you want to play multiplayer with me, maybe we can do that. Fifth Dream says, I bought the collector's edition. I've restarted twice over updates, and we'll probably do it again. See, the last time I played, there wasn't even save slots. Like, that's how long it's been since I've booted up No Man's Sky. And I did. I had a system where I like named every planet Black Wolvia, and I actually even got a message from somebody who found that system. So, but it'll be interesting to go. Hopefully, I will have a lonely corner of the universe and kind of can experience the lonely single player version, because I did like that. And then maybe, you know, do some multiplayer stuff. Tiger Claw says, the game is procedurally generated, so the places and aliens you encounter aren't always the same, but then you start noticing some repeats because the textures and shapes they use to define the worlds and the creatures are being reused. Well, that's how all procedurally generated games work. I mean, that's how people can get really good at games like Rogue Legacy, which is also procedurally generated, except it's a side-scroller. Eventually, you get the patterns of what they're creating, you know, and you know, so even though the layout is different, it's still, oh, I know how to get past this portion because they're all, you know, eventually you've got to actually create something. You can't just procedurally generate everything. Everything has a building block. And those building blocks, like in Rogue Legacy, are platforms and jumps and where the enemies are and stuff like that. And then it just randomly puts those building blocks in a new configuration. So I'm going to take a quick music break. And we can take your calls on any of this stuff, or if you want to talk about anything that happened at Comic-Con, even though not much gaming stuff happened at Comic-Con. But I'm going to take a quick music break, and we'll talk about more games when we get back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
You're listening to Bobby Blackwell. Exclusively on the Bobby Blackwolf Show, which is exclusive to VOG Network, which in turn is exclusive to VOGNetwork.com.
Something about exclusivity on there. If you want to leave a bumper that is exclusive to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, I'd love it. Well, all you have to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackwolf.com, or you can send a voicemail to our toll-free number. I'm going to be opening up all that stuff right now. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Yes, I still use Skype. I have learned that nobody uses Skype anymore. So may have to change. I know what I might want to change it to, but I'm not going to tell you, because then if I have to change it to something different, you're going to be very disappointed. Hopefully things will change, and we'll join the 2018 revolution. More secrets. That's right, JD. More secrets. SJ winner Matt wants to point out, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but congratulations to YYR. He and his wife had a daughter a little while ago, and he actually posted about this on Twitter, so I feel safe saying this. It's not like I learned this in confidence or anything, but congratulations to him, and welcome to the real world. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Stitch. So we've actually still been talking about No Man's Sky Next in the chat room. We're cautiously optimistic and stuff. Dungeon Buster actually did complete the story and basically got into the new game plus and all that stuff. And he wants to get more ships and stuff. And, you know, we hope that the grind for credits is a little bit better and stuff. Breakman wants to know if he can take over a planet and rule it. You can put bases on planets. Now, there was actually a story I was reading that about, like, there's this griefer that streams on Twitch, and basically what they do is, like, you can only have so many bases on a planet. And what he was able to do is he was able to build enough bases to remove other people's bases. And he was role-playing as an evil galactic overlord, and so he says it's okay. And he's basically going in and griefing No Man's Sky players by getting their bases deleted, basically using a unintended consequence of the game. And he's like, "I'm role-playing." And what he's actually got in trouble for is because, like, I think one of the people he removed was a woman; it was her bases, and then he said things that he probably shouldn't have, but he said, "I'm acting. I'm role playing. I'm role playing an evil overlord who's very misogynistic, and I should not be, you know, get in trouble with Twitch because I'm role playing. I'm acting." It's going to be I don't know if that's going to get addressed in No Man's Sky Next or not, but there are griefers out there apparently that are going through and destroying people's bases. That will not be me. I will not be that person. But it's going to be very interesting to see what it's like. I think I watched Robert stream one of the recent updates to No Man's Sky, and it looked kind of interesting. And I was like, maybe I want to play this again. Of course, he also streamed Final Fantasy 15. I'm like, I really want to play this again. Then I realized I am 31 hours into my save of Final Fantasy 15 on my PS4. And I'm like in chapter 8 or chapter 9, so I'm not even that far in the game. And I'm like, I don't remember how I set up any of my characters. I don't remember how to play. So I may like actually like also he's also like inspiring me to go back and maybe create a new save for Final Fantasy 15, play the first couple hours, relearn the game, then jump back into my original game because I enjoyed Final Fantasy 15. I was going very slow because I knew chapter 13, which is the one they redid. That's the stealth section. They redid it. And I was waiting for them to redo it. And then by the time they redid it, I had already, like, moved on to something else. Dark Tetsuya says, No Man's Sky doesn't have that much of a story, so some people want to make their own. Dick moved to be sure he's talking about the Griefer, but I can kind of see where he's coming from. And Dunderbuster says, one of the updates added a story arc to No Man's Sky, but initially the first version of the game had a very thin story. Yeah, the story was you want to get, for some reason, you're drawn to the center of the universe. Then when you finally get to the center of the universe, spoiler alert, you basically go through it, and then you wind up in a new universe. That was it. Breakman says, okay, dude, role-playing is cool and all, but you don't have the right to include someone against their will into your fantasy. And he was like, they're not playing the game right now. I'm just going in and doing what I do. And Fizzream says, there's another story that they added, too, on top of the black hole one, or the center of the universe. Breakman says story shmory. Yeah, it's like if you're one of the persons that like jumps through and it's like, I don't care why I'm fighting, just fight, then you can make your own story in No Man's Sky. It's open-ended enough that you can make your own story. Like, that's what I did. I did not care about the center of the universe. I was just like going around my own solar system. I think I left my solar system once to go because you had to get the next part. But then I'm like, can I get back to my original one? And I finally was able to get back to my original solar system and just deal with those planets there. And I was perfectly happy. Yeah, Fifth Room says that's way easier. Portals. They added portals so you can get back to your original system. I actually did it in the base game. I was actually able to get back to my original system. It took a bit because that the star map is not really conducive to that, especially at launch. It probably is better now. But I finally found my original system because I named it, and I was like, "There's my name," and I got back to it. I was so happy. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to trying some No Man's Sky next. I'm gonna go put that disc back in. It's gonna download gigs worth of updates. Then I'll sit back and gather resources and hopefully not get killed by the bots. I was so happy. It was like it was a nice world. It wasn't very poisonous that it started me on. It was low security, so I didn't have to deal with those sentinels all that often. It was actually kind of nice. And then like the second world was even better. Like it wasn't very toxic. But it even had lower security than the Sentinels. So it was like I actually had like two really nice starting planets that I could just explore and see what was going on and not worry about dying. Tireclaw says, whoever is streaming after OLR tonight should play No Man's Sky. I would actually wait until the new update because this update doesn't come out till Tuesday. So the No Man's Sky that's there now is not the same No Man's Sky that's going to be there Tuesday. Speaking of Rob, nobody's going to be calling tonight. We had a lot of callers last week, so this is fine. But we are still going to call Orange Lounge Radio. They're coming up next year on the Voice Geeks Network. They talk about games for much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what's going on. Sacramento, you guys there?
Sorta. I'm here.
Hi. Yeah, I'm doing good. Yes, we can hear you.
It's just me.
It's just you.
Yet, so hopefully everything's going okay and there's not a big traffic jam or something.
Do they know there's still a show tonight?
Yes, they know there's a show tonight. Stories got locked in and everything. So, yeah. You know, I know. Sorry about last week, guys, but things happen.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Much better. Like, you know, night and day, obviously. It was just, yes. You know, 48 hours of pure hell, and then, you know, everything was fine after that.
So you were one of the people critical of No Man's Sky, and I know you revisited it recently. Are you even interested in Tuesday's update?
Well, to frame my criticisms, too, because when you say I'm critical of it, yes, that's true. I'm not going to decline that. But most of my criticisms were based on all of the hype that was leading up to the release of the game. I don't want to say, like, I kind of saw through it early, but I definitely was one of, you know, my earliest criticisms were, so where's the game? Are you going to show the game? What is the actual game? What is it that you do in No Man's Sky? And that was a lot of my irritations. But I think that attitude caused me to not buy into the hype in the same way. And when the game first came out, I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, I didn't think it was, you know, a 10 out of 10 game.
Yeah.
But I liked it in the same way that it could be a very zen exploration experience that I kind of compared to Minecraft. I actually think the closest kind of comparison No Man's Sky has is probably Minecraft. So I enjoyed it for what it was, but it didn't hold my attention a colossally long time with the other stuff that was coming out. Although I've been encouraged to revisit it when you plugged my Twitch stream earlier, thank you, with some of the updates that they've been doing. And I've been very impressed that they've stayed really committed to these updates. This is a very, you know, we don't see this happen a lot in the gaming industry. When it happens really big, right? Like Diablo 3 was probably one of the biggest examples of this, where that game really didn't find its true self until a couple years after release. And then, of course, Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn, which, I mean, that ended up being a completely different game. So I do feel like, you know, Tuesday's release of this No Man's Sky patch is probably going to be, you know, kind of the big reawakening, the big relaunch of No Man's Sky. But, you know, they've been doing little pieces here and there. But, yeah, I to answer your question long-windedly, yeah, I definitely will check it out. And you're right on the money. I probably will stream that as soon as they put out the new patch on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm excited to check it out. I'm not thinking I'm going to jump right into multiplayer, but I'm kind of excited to revisit it as 2.0 with the inclusion of all this other stuff they've still been patching to it slowly over the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's like this is now it's finally out of early access, maybe?
That's one way of looking at it, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because I've been reading, you know, when you read the comments, which never read the comments, but I did.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's kind of funny. It's like people are like, I'm like, is it too little too late? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, so, you know, they actually, some people would have preferred them to not continue working on the game and just leave the game industry entirely. And
well, that's silly. I don't think anyone should be chased out of the game industry besides, you know, maybe certain executive folks that know nothing about video games. Hey, one of them used to run Xbox. But anyway.
It just goes to show you how rushed the game was.
Yeah. Oh, you showed up. Hi.
it's fine. It's kind of funny. It was rushed in 5 years. Like they worked 5 years on it.
I know. But it was such a small team. I think you have to look at the number of hours that were spent developing the game. If that team had been three times the size, they probably could have had done in 5 years what they're doing now. But it's, you know what? All of that is really like, why are we debating? And I'm asking not just you and me, but I'm asking just like the gaming community in general. Why are we debating the, you know, how dare it end up this way? And how, you know what? We can't change what happened.
No.
We can only do is kind of like learn from this. And I think it causes everyone to be a little more cautious about hype and the hype train, which as of recently, and I just noticed this came up in chat as well, is something I'm now starting to apply to Death Stranding. I'm starting to have a lot of those same feelings about Death Stranding that I was feeling about No Man's Sky. Now, there's a key difference here, and that is that Hideo Kojima is somebody that has proven himself within the industry several times over, whereas Hello Games didn't really, I mean, what, they made the Joe Danger or whatever that was called, like a couple that, like, but they hadn't really proven themselves in the industry yet. Hideo Kojima at least has a pretty rock solid track record, so I do feel like it'll all work out and the game will be kind of neat. But
then again, though, look at Mighty Number 9. Wasn't that the, you know, one of the creators of Mega Man? And you would think that.
Fair counterpoint. I won't argue that. Fair counterpoint.
And what I've seen that's kind of interesting about this is that we also hear from people, why don't developers communicate with us more? Why aren't they more communicative? And this is proving that they shouldn't, because if they do, then a situation like this happens where they've said too much and then they can't deliver.
Here's the thing. I think you really have to find that right balance of when to announce your project and when to, you know, I kind of think, like the movie industry, I don't think there's anything wrong with announcing that, you know, we're working on a Final Fantasy 16, let's say. I'm going to make up a game that doesn't, it probably exists, but it doesn't really exist yet. But we all know it'll happen eventually. So, you know, but then it's kind of like one of those, okay, it's happening. It's, you know, something we're working on, but don't like hype it every
PSX. Well, they overhyped it with bullshots.
Every,
You know what I mean?
They overhyped it with bullshots, like, because all that stuff that they were doing on stage and everything, that wasn't reflective of, like, how the game actually looked.
Oh, with the No Man's Sky when they did the plane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, they way overhyped it. They also kind of misled the consumer by showing stuff that isn't actually representative of the game. And, you know, in the end, they released it too early. I mean, it wasn't out of development yet.
I guess at the end, too, the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of the hype train, but the hype train doesn't have to go on for 5 years. I think Nintendo does pretty good at the hype train, as frustrating as it can be sometimes. You know, they've announced...
They don't show anything.
Well, but that's... this is why. this is the whole thing is playing into why. So, like, we know Metroid Prime 4 is happening eventually, and we're all kind of sitting here going, when do we get to see more? When do we get to see more? We're not seeing more because the game's not ready. Nintendo will show us more when they're ready to announce it's releasing within 6 months. That's what's going to happen with
Or in 6 weeks in the case of, you know, their online service, which we still don't know what is actually coming, and there's not much to get hyped about yet because we don't know what it is, and it's just coming out like a month.
And if they had announced something that they couldn't deliver on in 6 weeks, you would be even more upset than you are right now.
Yeah, because it's such a low bar, and if they can't meet that low bar, then that's pathetic.
This is my thought process on why the Nintendo announcement on online is taking so long. I really truly think they're trying to incubate something of like a AAA level. Well, I don't know if I would go AAA, but like, you know, a big like Nintendo thing where people are going to be like, I need that. Something that's going to be out digital only. So something bite-sized, but like huge, like bigger than NES.
Some of those
Animal Crossing
expectations.
I don't know if I would go that far to like a full-blown Animal Crossing, but I think Nintendo is working on something, but they are working on it aggressively. And if that game can't make October, it will push back to next year, and we'll never know it existed. It was something they were trying to gun for October, which is the case of many of these early Switch titles were things that they were probably working on for Wii U originally. And, you know, it just slipped to the Switch, and we never really knew that it was under construction for the Wii U.
Yeah. But I'm also noticing, like, you know, game developers, like, because I follow some indie game developers and stuff, and they're like, we also kind of just, you know, a lot of people decided they're not even going to talk about, like, some of the things they're doing in game development because now people come in and say, oh, you're just lazy. Yeah, you can sit there and tell me that such and such is difficult. I just think you're being lazy. And so even a lot of game developers that aren't like working on big titles or something, they're like, we really don't see the desire to speak about game development on social media anymore because it's just gotten so toxic. And that's why places like GDC thankfully still exist, where they feel that's a safer place for them to discuss these things without everybody listening in.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the upsides and the downsides of Twitter. I mean, Twitter gives you direct access to game developers, which, you know, when used for the forces of good can be a great thing. But when used for the forces of bad, which we've seen happen way, way, way too many times, it can just cause people to just stop using Twitter, which is what Sean Murray ultimately decided to do.
Yeah. And somebody, SJO and Matt said Loki's getting angry on Bobby's show. And Loki's like, I'm not angry. And I'm like, he's not angry. He's disappointed.
I'm not angry yet.
We're going to get there. So what else are you guys going to be getting angry about tonight? I mean, talking about tonight on OLR.
Remember, Nintendo, we were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Hey, Comic-Con.
You were the chosen one!
Comic-Con's going on right now, so there's a few news and announcements coming out of that, including some updates on Mega Man. It seems like, you know, Mega Man is now like, you know, one of those things that was frustrating was that Mega Man seemed to all but disappear for the longest time. And now, like, gosh, it seems like Mega Man's coming back in all these different places.
Yeah, but there's certain things I still wish would disappear.
Well, all right. Anyway, maybe we're going to be talking about one of those a little later on tonight. We're also going to talk about, this should be exciting to a lot of people, we're going to talk about a Tingle project that unfortunately didn't happen, but would have been a great Loki story. And I love this, the return of Neopets. But it's not what you think.
It's a pachinko machine.
Stay tuned.
Orange Lodge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
As always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. Those are all the places I am at. And you can also submit feedback on the episode pages here at FogNetwork.com, just like E3VL did earlier on in the show. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our wonderful chatters. So thank you so much, Dark Soccer, Dark Tatia, Ronma, Rob Roberts, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, JD, Tiger Claw, Actef, Bob Coffee, Bowl, Don't Sue Me, Man, that's Breakman. I think they're about to hit 500 episodes on his podcast, RP Grinders. Dungeon Buster, Kaijudo, Elm Orchard, Loki, MXC, Orange Wright, Podculture, Raginator, She-Hulk, Spiffy, SJ100Matt, and Zeba. So see you guys next week. Go try. If you still have No Man's Sky, you might want to try it after Tuesday. It might be a little different. You might not regret your purchase, maybe. No guarantees. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.